Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's now the 8:30 hour. Time for the body of Christ to come together, to explore the Word of God together. And not only the body of Christ, but anyone who may be listening that have not decided to choose Christ as their Savior. This teaching tonight is for you as well. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore the Word of God together. This is a joyous time of the year because we're looking at so many graduations. And I want you guys to be prayerful for our students that's coming out of high school because they're fixing to enter into their new walk of life as young adults. And they're going to need prayer. So I just want to say congratulations to all of the graduates, elementary school, high school, college. I'm just, if any of you are listening, I just want you to know as you start the new journey in your life, it's good to start it with Jesus. I want to give a special shout out to Micah Lewis. Micah Lewis graduated today from St. Augustine High School. He's like a nephew to me. He's a miracle child. His birth, they say, wouldn't happen. And after it happened, they say it wouldn't last. Then they said if it would last, he wouldn't walk. And they didn't know the functions of his brain. And today, he graduated from St. Augustine High School. And he's going to enter college. God is truly in the blessing business. And God can do anything but fail. So we have to just hold on and be prayerful for one another and be patient with one another and be humble towards one another and love on each other like God loves on us. Forgive as Jesus Christ has forgiven all of us. And grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, tonight our lesson is coming from the book of James. We're going to be in the first chapter of James, and we're going to expound on verses 1 through 8. And the title of the lesson is, Life is Full of Trials and Temptations. Life is full of trials and temptations. Well, at this time, I'm going to go ahead and play a song. And I chose a song that I thought is appropriate for this lesson. The title of the song is Through the Storms by Yolanda Adams. And, you know, when we are going through, it seems like we are going through a storm. And James is going to touch on how we should handle this in our lesson tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and play the song. And after that, we're going to come back and explore the Word of God together.
Life will blow. There
Yes, that was Yolanda Adams, "While I Was Riding Through the Storms." You know, if you listen to that record, it's giving encouragement. Because, you know, she said, well, so while you're riding through the storm, and as our lesson tonight is on trials and temptations, you know, you got to hold on to God's unchanging hand, knowing that he never leaves you nor forsake you. It puts you in a good position no matter what's going to go on in your life. So we have to remember to keep our eyes on God. You know, when Peter was walking on the water and he was looking to God, and long as he was looking to God, he walked on the water. But soon as he put his attention somewhere and took his sights off of Jesus, he began to sink. We have to keep our eyes on God in everything, all the time, in season, out of season. You know, we're living in trying times, and we really have to get the truth in our heart to know what Jesus has done and doing and promised to do. That's going to give us rest. The Bible says, take this yoke upon you and I'll give you rest. It was never God's intention for us to be walking around with our head hung low as someone without hope. You got to know who you are and who your God is. And no matter what come your way, if you trust and believe, you'll make it. So at this time, we have to go to the throne of grace. And if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. Sister Elyria, if you're on the phone, you could press the one button. If anyone would like to pray, God is given an opportunity at this time. Caller, your number is 504-715. Hello.
I'm here.
Sister, your mic is open, darling.
Has been. Yes, oh God. God, we just come in tonight to get increase, oh God. God, we just want you to give us understanding of your word, because you say, with all that I get and get understanding. So, God, we just ask that you would open up the eyes of our understanding tonight, Lord God, that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, because you said that we can cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Oh, God, we just come to lay aside all the weight and the sins that would so easily beset us, oh God. Everything that we went through today, we just lay it aside, that we can increase in the inner man, because you said in your word, though the outer man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. So we thank you, Lord God, that your word renews us, your word save us, your word keep us, your word deliver us, oh God. And for that we are grateful. God, we ask that you would touch Minister Diane tonight, Lord God, that she would bring the word for that she has been doing in time past, oh God, and that we will give you honor and glory in everything that we do. And it is in Jesus' name that we call it all done. Amen. Glory to God.
Thank you so much, God. Sister Elyria. I want to let Sister Elyria know, Pam, know that I did get comments concerning the way that you guys pray. You know, the people enjoy it, and they say they feel the prayer. So I wanted to encourage you guys, and I want you to know that God is pleased with what you're doing.
Thank you.
Our lesson, like I said tonight, is life is full of trials and temptations. We're in the book of James. As always, I give some background, and I'm going to give a little background on James. we in James, the first chapter, the first through the eighth verse. Life is full of trials and temptations and tribulations. You see, the book of James was written by James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. James, who wrote the book of Bible, is Jesus' half-brother. You see, James and Jesus had the same mother, who was Mary. But James' biological father was Joseph. But Jesus' biological father was the Almighty God. Impregnated by his spirit, the Holy Ghost. You see, James, along with his brothers, did not believe that their brother Jesus was the Messiah until after his resurrection. You know, it's always said that plenty of times you're not, you know, known, or you don't get accolades from your own hometown, and sometimes even in your own home when others may see your greatness. But Jesus' brothers didn't believe that their brother, their big brother Jesus, who was in the house with him, and they saw him do normal things, that he could be the Messiah. How could you be right in the midst of something and don't know its value? You see, it's usually that way. You see, sometimes the ones that are the closest to you find it hard to recognize your greatness, your gifts, or your talents. And I'm so honored and blessed because, you know, some of the members in my family is on the program. My childhood friends is on the program. My friends that I had for over 40 years who knew me in my beginning and could see me now, you know. My sister is on the program. My great aunt, my aunt is on the program. And I feel honored and blessed. And thank you guys for tuning in. You see, the book of James is called a letter. And, some, you know, it's also called an epistle. And you could consider the book of James to be the how-to book on Christian living. The pages of this letter are full with confrontations, challenges, and a call to commitment. The book is loaded with challenges of one's faith and the result of obedience and good deeds that prove your faith. See, James is the one who say, you know, if you have faith, I should see it. Where's the evidence? You know, and James also the one who said faith without works is dead. He wasn't saying that you need works to save you, but he was saying if you're saved, there should be works. Hallelujah. He uses bold illustrations and pointed reminders that are meant to motivate the believer to perform good work. He brings to light Jesus' message that a tree is known by its fruit. You see, after Stephen was martyred, and for those who don't know, Stephen was the first person martyred for their belief and strong convictions in Jesus Christ when everything around them was opposing it. But he held on to the confession of his faith. And because that, they killed him. They stoned him to death. But he was the first one martyred. But after Stephen was martyred, the persecution increased, and Christians in Jerusalem were scattered about, round about Rome. Roman. You see, Jews begin to scatter, and that's why God said he's going to have the great revival when he's going to bring all the Jews back to their promised land. Hallelujah. You see, But even in the midst of all of the persecution, even in the midst with the people of God being killed, there were still striving Jewish Christian communities in Rome, because these early believers did not have the support of an established Christian church. James wrote to them as a concerned leader to encourage them in their faith during those difficult times. Now, it's amazing that they had to come together and get the word and do whatever they can, because they couldn't establish a church because it was like against the law, and anybody who wanted to believe in Jesus and call him the Messiah, the Jews believed that that was blaspheme against God, that they was putting Jesus over God or equal with God. But little did they know that Jesus and God was one and the same. They couldn't establish churches because of fear. And yet we have a church almost on every corner, and but some churches, you know, like they say, you could throw a brick in it and you won't hit anyone. These people were willing to die for their faith, and we today have trouble embracing our faith. But God is still in control. That's our background for tonight, and we're going to start in the book of James, the first chapter. If you got your Bibles, open it up. I pray that you read the entire first chapter of James, because it would be something good for you to have, something for you to know. And tonight we're going to, you know, shine a spotlight on it so that you can grow. You see, the first chapter, the first verse says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad, greetings, my brother. Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Now, most letters have a salutation, and this is James' salutation. And he said, a servant of God and of Jesus Christ. See, by then, James, after the resurrection, Jesus showed himself to his brother, and his brother began to believe, and he became a strong leader in the church and an advocate for Jesus Christ, and hallelujah, you know, trying to get people saved. So he wrote this letter because they was all scattered around because of fear. But he was telling them, he was encouraging them, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You see, here we see that James makes the statement that when you fall, not if you fall. See, that's important for us to realize. When you fall, not if you fall. The title of the lesson, this life is just full of trials, tribulations, setbacks, temptations, letdowns, come on now, natural storms, hurricanes, fires, earthquakes. You know, there's many trials and tribulations. So he didn't say when you, you know, come up against them, not if you come up against them, but when you come up against them, he's suggesting that we count it all joy. You see, this life has diverse, which means many. That word just means many temptations. And here we see that temptation is a form of testing. I want you to know testings and temptations and trials and tribulation come from different aspects. You see, whether it comes from the world and Satan, who's the greatest tempter, and you see, if the temptation comes from him, it's going to have the appealing effect for you to be concerned with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You see, or, you know, some of your trials and tribulations and temptations are caused by you. when you are leaning to your own understanding, doing whatever seems right in your own eyes, or doing things your own way and not God's way. When you are standing up big and tall and demanding your will, not God's will. See, so that's the three aspects it could come from. There are even times by God, which is the third, Satan in the world, you, and now we own God. You see, but God is never a tempter, but he is a tester. But he used all of your life experience, the good, the bad, the ugly, to get you to his intended purpose. There's a purpose for anything and everything that happened. And God is the overseer of it all. You know, God does not tempt. I've had people say, you know, Sister Diane, I used to steal. And, you know, I was at the store and the stuff was right by the door and I could have easily taken it. But I believe God was tempting me to see if I would do it. God does not tempt, but he will test. You see, this may come as a shock to many people, but God does not trick, tempt, or give us an opportunity to sin. Why would God do that when he's trying to get you away from sin? You see, this is contrary to his nature. God doesn't ever tempt us. And I want to let you know, there's enough temptations, trials, tribulations, to go around without God tempting you. Always remember that nothing in this life can happen unless God plans it or he allows it. You see, your negative experiences are to be accepted with joy. That's what James said. But I come to tell you, for those who say, how can I have joy with what's going on? How can I have joy when this has just happened to me? How can I have joy? How can I? But I want to tell you tonight, James said to have counted all joy, but not joy for the trial itself, but because of the positive work God can accomplish through it. And you have to remember, sometimes it's only a test. You remember Job? You see, God allowed Job to be tested. But watch this. He did it with a watchful eye. And all that he went through, in the end we found out, well, we knew because we've seen it now, but in the end Job understood that it was only a test. But through the midst of it all, Job counted it all joy, held on to the confession of his faith, and he received double for his trouble. Everything that the devil had taken from him, God restored 100-fold. You know, Job said, the Lord give it and the Lord take it. But God didn't take Job's children. He didn't kill all of his cattle. He allowed it. And he could have. But that's not how the story goes. But whatever God has created, he has control over it. And yes, he can make decisions and do whatever he wants. You see, what the devil has set up for our bad, God turns it around for our good. God is in control and has designed everything that happened in our lives. So just learn to trust him. The joy that James is speaking about can only be accomplished if you have the blessed assurance the solid foundation, the word of God in your heart, to know that you are a child of God, that you have been born again, and that your soul is secured in him. No matter what may be going on in your life, you got to wake up each day knowing that you have the victory. Satan has been defeated, and we have the victory by the blood of Jesus Christ. God will not change that. You see, once you know who you are and understand that there's a difference between happy and joy, you will understand that joy stands in the midst of the storm, and happy is blown away by the winds of the storms. You know, I often tell a story about joy and happy. You see, happy only happens when things that you want to happen happens. I'm going to say it again. Happy only happens when things that you want to happen happens. But joy, walk through the trials with you, walk through the tribulations with you, walk through the temptations with you. Joy is always there, walking and holding on to you, and you got to learn from what James is telling us tonight to count it all joy. And you see, no matter what's going on in your life, I don't know if God is orchestrating it or if it's done by you or if the devil is using it on you. You know, I don't know. But I could tell you one thing. God is in control. And God doesn't make mistakes. And God take care of his own. See, a lot of times we can't get over the hump because we don't have the right tools to make the jump. You see, if you got a little bit of word in you and a little bit of trust in God and a little bit of knowledge about who God really is and how he operates and what he wants for you, then you could have only a little strength. But when you begin to know, like I said earlier, who you are in God and who he is to you, you could go through anything. You see, even in our temptations, trials, and tests, and tribulation, the scriptures tell us that if we love the Lord, he will work all things out together for our good. You think that's a lie? You might have quoted it many times, but I want to ask you tonight, do you believe it? You see, temptation is enticement or invitation to sin. You should keep in mind that Satan is the greatest tempter and God is the greatest deliverer. I want you to know, you know, a lot of times people say, God don't put no more on you than you could bear. But I'm going to give you the scripture that what the scripture really says in reference to that. You see, in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 13th verse says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He said he won't let no temptation come to you that he know you can't handle or you didn't have enough. But he'll give you a way to escape the temptation. If you're submitting to him, if you hear what he have to say, if you put it in your heart and walk away, that's what he's talking about. You would think that as many trials as we experience in our lives, You see, and God lets a lot of these things happen because he's using them as tools for maturity. So you would think as many trials that we have experienced in life, it should produce spiritual maturity, which is its intent. But sadly to say, that's not always the case. Sometimes trials and temptations and tribulations can make you bitter instead of making you better. I could tell you plenty of cases like that, and usually sometimes it's with the death of a loved one. You know, you always hear people, why would God take my mama away? Why would God let my child die or someone with their spouse? God don't make no mistakes, and God let us know in the beginning of the Bible that all men must die. And then sometimes people, just today I was talking to a lady and her mother is living, but she's sick, and her mother is probably 70 or 80 years old, and her father died in January, and he was up in age, and, you know, she said she just think it's so unfair. So I just told her like this. I say, well, do you believe that everyone death time is appointed? She said, yes. She said, but I still think it's unfair. I said, well, you're talking about your father. He may have been 80 years old or whatever, and you had him all of those years. I said, my mother died when she was 36 and I was 11. So you do the math. But besides that, the more the person talks, the more you hear them really being selfish because, you know, and that's our human nature. I ain't mad at her now. And I understand she missed her loved one. But come on. Don't throw it on God's back. Y'all, everybody know everybody's got to die. And God say this life is but a vapor. He's concerned about you here and now, but his biggest concern is for you in eternity. And he done locked that in and created the victory through his son's death, burial, and resurrection for you. So when we leave this body, they say absent for the body and present with the Lord. And that's the biggest gift you can get. And yet when we be in our feeble mind and our selfish motive, we want it all. And because God doesn't do it the way we want it done, then it's something wrong with him. But it's never nothing wrong with God because God is perfect. If you don't like the way that God is doing it, it's nothing wrong with God. It's something wrong with you. We have to know and believe the word of God, then have faith. Because if we do, then we can truly count all of these things joy. This world ain't going to give the world that is ruled by the princes of the air, which is Satan, is going to keep pumping up the volume. So you need to get worded up. You need to get buckled up with the word, like put on the buckle with the whole armor of God and your helmet and your breastplate. And you see, you got to be determined, and you got to stand in front of these trials and things that's coming your way. And the Bible says you could be perplexed, and it could knock you down, but you get up. You might stumble, but God sometimes don't even let you fall. If we look back over our lives, we should have learned that trouble don't last always. And weeping may endure for a night, but joy has a way to come in the morning. With God on your side, whatever state that you are in right now, stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which is joy. Joy is salvation. We got salvation, and yet we don't have joy. Something ain't right with that picture. And when we see, and he will see us through, when we hold on to the confession of our faith, joy would always be present, even in the midst of the storm. And I come to tell you tonight, it's never what you go through, but who you go through it with. And if we look at verses 2, 3, and 4 right now, the scripture reads, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, this scripture state, knowing this. When the scripture say, knowing this, what they're saying is accepting it as a fact. So you read over the scripture, and the scripture saying, knowing this, and if you don't take it as a true fact and let it penetrate your heart and regulate your mind, and let your, you know, it's going to help your faith. You see, in order to have patience, we must work our faith. Faith produces patience. Hallelujah. As I said earlier, James is the one that said faith without work is dead. You see, faith is belief in someone or something. Some people put their faith and trust in their jobs, their money, their education, their looks, or other people. But I come to tell you, at some point, all of those things let you down. There's a scripture in Isaiah 2 and 22 say that, don't put your trust in mere man. They are all fragile as breath. And in the end, what good are they? As Christians, we should place our faith in Jesus Christ, for he is faithful. The Bible said that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we believe that the things we can't see in the present will come to pass and we will have the victory. Remember, if you can see it, you don't need faith. You see, faith in God is trusting that God is able to see you through in every situation that may come your way. True faith should transform your conduct as well as your thoughts, your speech. Come on, y'all. Your servanthood. Hallelujah. But I want to ask you tonight, are you conformed or are you being transformed by your faith? And when I say conformed, that's like being compromised in your faith with the world. You pick and choose what you want to do for God, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, if you want to do it, and only why you want to do it. There are times when we take our faith and put it on the shelf. Because we rather have faith in ourselves, our selfish selves. We wanna concentrate on our will. So we put our faith on a shelf. But you gotta watch out for that. After saying that, we must now take a good look at what patience is and what patience does. You see, patience is accepting and waiting for a change to come. Patience allows you to bear misfortunes or pains without complaining or losing your temper, being irritated all the time. You see, it's the ability or willingness to surpass restlessness when confronted with delay. You know, if you change the program on some people, they almost want to die. But just like God, you know, some of God's answers is delay and they not know. But can you wait on him? We see so many times when people jumped the gun when he told Abraham and Sarah he was going to give them a baby. They couldn't wait, and they had Abraham going to the maid and created Ishmael, and then God delivered, and they had Isaac, and then now Sarah don't want Isaac around anymore. You see, you're bringing confusion because you took it into your own hands. You see, patience is quiet, calm, steady. patient really means persevere. It gives you the ability to persevere until the change comes. You see, patient is even-tempered and diligent. We can't know the depth of our character until we know how we will react under pressure. God wants to make us mature, complete, perfect, and entire, which means whole, but not to keep us from pain. That's just like Jesus said, I'm going to take away your sin, but your consequences belong to you. God said, I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to be in control, and I'm going to take care of you. He said, but, you know, you in this world, you're going to have some pain. James told us earlier that we will fall, not if we will fall. Patience is a virtue and a fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came to live inside of us once we accepted Christ as our Savior, He brought the gift of the fruit of the Spirit. The patience was in the package. When you let patience accomplish the work, you will not want for nothing, but you'll continue to wait with joy. You see, the patience working in you and with you in your trials allows you to know that you have the victory, which brings spiritual maturity. Patience gives you time to grow. Come on, y'all. And you see, just like we got to be patient with others, we got to patiently wait on God. We have to be patiently patient with others, and you got to be patient with yourself. Because patience gives you the time to grow and will accomplish what it set out to do. Instead of complaining about your struggles, we should see them as opportunities for growth. We should see them as teaching tools. Because you see, when you go through something and you don't learn, you probably will go through it again. And if you look at verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally, and unbridle it not, and it shall be given. Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And it goes on to tell you why. In verse 8, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You see, when I looked at these verses, the word wisdom, and I looked it up, you know, the Bible say that wisdom is the beginning. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to discern. Plenty of people say, I got the discernment of spirit. I got the gift to discern a spirit. I have a gift of discernment, some people may say. But, you know, when you have the gift of discernment, you are operating in wisdom. The wisdom has the ability to discern or to judge that which is true, that which is right, or a lasting insight. Wisdom give us insight and discernment. You see, wisdom is common sense and good judgment. Wisdom give us a wise outlook, a plan, and a course of action. I know we all know someone that's very highly educated, and you know, the world call them educated fools. They went to school, they did the work, but they don't have common sense to figure out some of the simplest facts of life. You see, an intelligent person may have a profound idea and get nowhere with it. But a wise person operating in wisdom will take a profound idea and put it into action. You see, a knowledgeable person may make a lot of money, but don't know how to manage it and loses all that he gains. But a wise person can make a little, yet manage well and gain a lot and keep it all. Y'all know there's places, people like that. You see, it's never how much you make, but what you do with it. We know that common sense is not so common to some people. You know, when I first heard common sense, I thought everybody had common sense, that it was like, you know, a little bit of sense or something like that. Common sense is not as common as you think, and it's not as common to everybody. And I want to let you know that there is no school of wisdom. You ain't never heard a person say they got a degree in wisdom. You know, people have PhDs and everything, but ain't nobody got a PhD in wisdom. Wisdom teaches us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And wisdom let us know that all things will be added unto us, which can produce, can increase our faith and give us patience. You see, all of this work together. The word of God is like a 360. It all connects to one another. You see, wisdom comes only from God, and he gives liberally and freely to all that acts. The Bible in the book of James says, if you want wisdom, ask God. He will not hold wisdom from you, because we have not, in many cases, because we ask not. And as you do your prayer tonight or tomorrow, ask God for the gift of wisdom. Ask God to let you have wisdom and discernment as you go through this life, so that you can hold on to your joy and you could begin to be patient in your dealings. In asking God, we must line our request up with the will of God. You know, some people ask God for things that's not in his will. So you'll be waiting till the cows come home. You see, there are certain things that are not in the will of God, and then God will not dwell in it. We must have confidence that God will allow. We got to have confidence that God will align our desires with his purpose. Y'all got to put that in the equation now. You know, you pray and you say, not my will, but thy will. You see, the things that we ask God for, you see, this scripture, this point that I'm making right now is that we got to have the confidence that God will align our desires with his purpose. You see, in the scripture went on to say, a double-minded man is unstable. Jesus said the same thing when he spoke in Matthew 6:24. He said, no man can serve two masters, but either he will hate the one and love the other one, or else he would hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's Jesus, y'all. You see, you got your loyalty to God cannot be divided with anyone or anything. Being double-minded is like a drunken man, unstable and unable to walk a straight line, swaying one way then another. He has no defined direction, and as a result, doesn't get anywhere. And wherever he is, it's all right with him because he ain't got nowhere to go. And I'm going to close with this tonight. God and the things of this world are of such opposite in nature that it is impossible to love either one completely without hating the other one completely. This is not saying that you're going to be perfect. You know, I tell people all the time, I am not perfect. I also believe about myself that I believe the word of God, all 66 books from Genesis to Revelation. But I'm also the first one to say I haven't been able to achieve it in and of myself, and God is working on me. You got to know the facts. See, when he said loving one and hating the other, you're supposed to hate the sins of the world. You're supposed to hate them boys getting killed on the street. That's what he's talking about. He's not saying totally do everything that God said, because you can't be perfect. Read the scriptures for what it's saying. You're going to either hate one and love, you know, you can't have 50-50. So if you love the things of God, that don't mean you're going to be perfect, but you got to hate sin. Plenty of times people doing different things, you got to hate the sin that they're doing, but you love the person. We are told that we are in the world, but not of this world. You see, once we accepted Christ, we have a new citizenship in God's kingdom. And I want you to know that God is a jealous God and will not accept a service that is divided with Satan's people, places, or things. And that's our lesson tonight. Let's keep in mind, God has given us everything we need to live a righteous life. God has given you everything you need to not have to walk around with your head hung down because of a situation, a circumstance. And you might say that's easy for you to say, but you don't know what I'm going through. The scripture I told you tonight in 1 Corinthians says there's nothing that happened to you that has already not happened to man. But what we have the tendency of doing when something's going on in our life, we think it's the worst thing, and it's the worst way it's happening, and nobody don't understand. But nothing that you could go through has, nothing that you can go through that has not already happened to somebody else. And that's trying to direct us from sitting down and having our pity for us, like you're the only one. The title of the lesson is, life is full of trials, tribulations, temptations. And that's not going to stop. So since we can't control that, let us begin to use everything that God has given us. He's given us his word. He's given us his son. He's given us his spirit. He's given us preachers and teachers and churches and, you know, and everybody don't get it the same way. But find a way for you to get it. And get it. And as the scripture says, be patient with yourself. Because this is not a journey. This is a journey, I'm sorry. It's not a destination. We're going to be a rain, God is going to be molding and shaping us and arranging and rearranging us until Jesus comes back again. God say, take his yoke upon you, because his burdens is light. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. And he guaranteed to bring you through, but you got to trust it. You got to believe it to achieve it. And that's what God desired for us is. That's why James wrote the letter. That's why God inspired him to write the letter. That's why God have us here tonight, for us. If you guys never read the Bible again, if you guys never go to church another day in your life, if you guys never turn on gospel channel, God is still going to be God. God has bestowed all of this on us for us. And we should begin to take advantage of all that he has given us for our good in Christ Jesus. If anyone would like to say something, you could press the one button. Anyone need prayer, want to ask for prayer, you could press the one button. Anyone would like to expound on a lesson, you could press the one button. Anyone have anything to say, you can do that at this time. Caller, your number is 504-430. Your line is open. Caller? Your number is 504-430-48. Your line is open. Maybe it was a mistake. Anyone else would like to say anything? Caller, your number is 504-430. Maybe you had your mute button or something on, and I just didn't want you to had got your phone straight, and I had closed the mic, but I'm closing it at this time. Anyone have any prayer requests? I have one prayer request. A lady named Miss Emma Gauthier, she's in the hospital. Really, she's in a rehab right now. I'm asking each and every one of us to pray for her. Her name is Emma Gauthier. And remember the people on the prayer line. I just pray for the Wednesday night prayer line. Caller, your number is 504-230-33. Your mic is open.
Hi.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
You have to talk in your phone, babe. We can't hear you.
Okay, my phone is not working. I just wanted to say what a wonderful, wonderful lesson. I was very touched by everything that you said.
Oh, I thank you so much, Carla. And I pray, you know, God designed these lessons. I go to God every week and say, Lord, you know who's going to call on this line. You know what they need. And then I ask the Holy Spirit to give it to me, to give it to you guys. So, you know, that's why the Bible says no man will ever have the opportunity to boast, because it's not about me. And I'm so confident of that. I'm so sure of that, because I know how God is operating with this program. And, Carla, I thank you for your comments, and I'm glad that you encouraged. But what we all have to do, once we get through with a lesson, we have to meditate on it, or Satan will come and snatch it from your head. Meditate on it and make it real in your life. And I thank you, Carla, for your comment. Are there anyone else? Is there anyone else who would like to say anything? Well, that's our program for tonight. And I'm going to ask Elyria Mackey, our prayer warrior, to, Sister Elyria, I'll open your mic back up. If you could sing us a little touch of a song and then lead us in the prayer, and we'll close out for tonight. I just want you guys to know that I feel mighty good. I'm so grateful and thankful for all that God is doing. And I look forward to him to keep working on me, and I keep getting strength and receive more knowledge to press towards the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. I am so glad that I'm past the state of the guessing in the game. Hallelujah. I'm past the state of, you know, compromising and doing, going, you know, doing, starting and stopping. I'm so glad, you know, I'm where I'm at, and I look forward with expectation where God is going to bring me to. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But Elyria, your mic is open.
Okay. I'm going to be praying for the Eugene Badalamy family and Madeline Mackie Taylor family. And Aunt Meg was my auntie. She passed. She was 105, and Mr. Eugene was 103. So we lost the two oldest people in the parish on last Tuesday, and they're both going to be funeralized on this Friday. And I'm going to sing a portion of a song for you. Though the storms keep on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day, still that hope that lies within is reassured. As I keep mine eyes upon the distant shore, I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared. But if the storms don't cease, and if the winds keep on blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. My soul has been anchored in the Lord. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for tonight, oh God. We thank you for what you have done in our lives, oh God, for what you're doing in our lives, oh God. God, I lift up the Taylor, Mackie Taylor family to you. I lift up the Badalamy family to you, Lord God, and all of those that have lost loved ones on this week, Lord God, because I know that you're able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And it's according to the power that worketh in us. God, I thank you for your word tonight, Lord God. God, you said he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So, God, we just come week after week seeking your face, oh God, seeking your word, oh God, just to grow in the inner man. Because your word declares the outer man perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And we can stand on your promises, for they are yea, and they are amen. And you said, oh God, in your word, with all thy getting, get understanding. So we thank you for opening up our understanding tonight. We thank you for enlightening us, oh God, that we can walk in the spirit, that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, oh God. God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for another day. We thank you for the new mercies that you give us morning after morning. We just thank you, and we are grateful, Lord God, because your word declares that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you know how to deliver us out of them all. So, God, no matter what we go through, we know that you're the God that will deliver us out of them all, oh God. And you have made us lively stones in you, Lord God. You say that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and for that we are grateful. God, and I speak peace upon those that have lost loved ones, because you said you can bind up the broken heart and you give peace that passes under all understanding, not as the world give it, but as you give it. So, God, even those that's going through situation on this line tonight, oh God, I speak peace in the midst of their stones. And, God, I thank you because our soul is truly anchored in you, Lord God. We can't do nothing without you, because it is in you that we move and we have our being. And, God, we thank you for another Wednesday night enlightenment, oh God, in your word. And, God, we know that your word declares that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And for that, we are grateful, we are thankful, and we bless your name, O God. And we call all things done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and hallelujah to the Lamb of God who truly came and took away our sins. We glorify you, Lord God. We magnify you. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, thank you, thank you. Can't do nothing without you, Lord. Oh, God, you are so good. You're good and you're worthy to be praised. God, you're good in every situation that we go through. You keep us, Lord God. You said in our weakness we are made strong. And for that we thank you. We bless you. We magnify you. We glorify you. God, we just want to tell you that we love you. And with all our whole heart, our soul, our mind, we've been all sold out vessels to you, Lord God, and we thank you. Glory, hallelujah to the Lamb. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much. Larry. This is the last call. If anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, I'm going to say good night. I'm going to do a benediction, and you guys know what I love to say. I'm just asking that each one of us grow in grace. Okay, caller, press the button. Caller, your number is 985-774-71. Your mic is open.
Hey, Sister Diane. This is Diane McBride. I just want to ask for prayers. I went to a graduation in New Orleans East at UNO last night, and I needed money for parking. And I had a checkbook and I had a credit card, but I don't do ATMs or anything like that. I had no cash money. And I asked so many people at CVS, and finally I went to Rouse's, and the little girl named Diamond gave me $5 for parking. And she asked for prayer. Now, I don't know what she needed prayer for, but we all need prayer. But if everybody can pray for this little girl named Diamond who was working at Rouse's on Franklin. She was just so sweet. And I just didn't realize that you got to ask so many people before somebody will help you. But she was just such a sweet, sweet woman. So I went over there today and talked to her manager. And of course, I overpaid her. But she was just really a nice woman. And since she asked for prayer, I would like everybody to say a prayer for this little girl, Dom. And I'm sure she's like in her 20s or something.
All right. Thank you, Sister McBride. And Diamond's going to, her blessing is on the way because she planted a seed for that blessing, baby. She planted
yes, she
a
did.
Seed. And they say, give and it shall be given unto you. So we thank you, Sister McBride, for putting Diamond name in our prayer, for our prayer line, because God's going to bless you for that as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So if that's it for tonight, I'm going to say I pray that each and every one of us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I also would like to say if it's God's will, we'll be back on next Wednesday. So with all that being said, I hope that somebody was blessed. I pray that God got the glory. And if it's God's will, we'll meet back on Wednesday. Good night. God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed and be a blessing to someone else. Good night.